which is, we're looking at Mark chapter 7 today. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Jen. I'm one of the church leaders here. For those of you who have heard that more than once, my name is still Jen. Whether this is the first or the thousandth talk that you've sat through, I really want to encourage you this morning. We preach the Word of God because we believe that God wants to bring challenge and encouragement and transformation to our lives through our heads and through our hearts. So as we're going along this morning, if you've got questions as I'm speaking, note them down, come and ask me at the end. If you've got observations that you think, gosh, I've never noticed that before, write them down, tell someone over tea and coffee. And maybe as we're going through this morning, say to God, God, what is it you want to show me from this passage for my life, for this week, for this season? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it brings life. God, I pray that you'd help us in the next 20 minutes or so to engage our heads and our hearts. And we say, come and challenge us. Come and encourage us individually and collectively as your people this morning, that we might be changed and transformed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so if you look up at the screen, it's a picture. I don't know if you can see so well because of the light, but there's two pictures there of a lovely queen, Queen Elizabeth, to celebrate her Diamond Jubilee. Apparently, it was in one of the airports in London. And on the face of it, it looks like a good picture of her, old and not so old, on the left. But actually, when you look more closely at the picture, I don't know if you'll be able to see it here. The first picture, that one, is made up of all tiny different pictures of ordinary people. So the Queen's face, the big Queen's face, made up of ordinary people's faces. So actually, there's more to that first picture than initially meets the eye. And then this morning, we're going to look at Mark chapter 7, continuing in our series. And hopefully, we're going to look at an encounter between, not hopefully, we're going to look at an encounter between Jesus and a deaf man. And on the face of it, it looks like another one of Jesus's healings. And it is. But hopefully, by looking a little bit closer, we're going to see a little bit more of what is going on. So let me read the passage, mainly because I've not asked anybody else to do that. So Mark chapter 7, verse 31, following. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hands on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh he said, Andy, what did he say? Sorry, anyone pronounce that? Ephphatha. Okay, we'll go with Ephphatha. Okay, so he looked up and he said, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept on talking about him. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Okay, for those of you who know my husband, you know that when he preaches, he likes to have a map. He's not spoken for a while, so I feel like I need to keep up the family tradition. And I've got a map. So verse 31. Has this got a thing on it, Mike? Oh, lovely. Look at it. I feel like I'm in school. Okay, so this is where Jesus started out. He left Tyre and he was going down to here, this region here. But instead of coming straight down through Galilee, which would have been a more straightforward route, he travels up to Sidon, goes round, and then ends up at the Decapolis region. Okay, now the reason why he takes an approximately 120-mile round trip was he didn't want to go through the, Galilee because it was becoming a more a region where it was hostile for Jesus. So the leader of that region in Galilee was Herod Antipas, and he was the one who was responsible for beheading John the Baptist. And he wasn't a sympathizer of Jesus, I think that's easy to say. And so Jesus takes the long roundabout route, ends up in the Decapolis. Now, he lands in that region, which isn't a Jewish region. And this region have already heard amazing things about Jesus because of what happened in chapter 5 when Jesus expelled demons from a man and said, go back to your people and tell them what I've done. And he did. He went back and they were amazed. So this is where Jesus rocks up. And look at verse 32. An unnamed deaf man who could hardly talk, either he had a serious speech impediment or he was mute, he was brought to Jesus. And then look what Jesus does. So verse 33, he takes the guy away from the crowd, dealing with the man as an individual, giving him his attention, showing this man that he's valued. And Jesus places his fingers into the man's ears. Now, he was doing exactly what the people had asked him to do. They were crying out for Jesus, just touch this man, place your hands on this man. And Jesus puts his fingers in the guy's ears. And probably rather than being something disgusting, it was probably something quite tender and quite compassionate. And in verse 33, Jesus spits on his hand and touches the man's tongue. Now, I've read this passage quite a few times in preparing for this morning, and every time it makes my stomach churn. He spits on his hand and touches the man's tongue. But far from being something that's minging, really, in certain traditions, in Jewish culture, saliva, especially of firstborn sons, was considered to have healing properties. And so he's put his spit onto the man's tongue. Is he healed? No. So what happens then? So look at verse 34. Jesus looks up to heaven. It's something he often did. In the feeding of the 5,000, before he distributes all the bread, he looks up to heaven. Before he raises Lazarus from the dead, he looks up to heaven. See, in Jesus doing that, he's focusing on or contemplating heaven, and he is distinguishing himself from anybody else who claims to be a healer by whacking their spit on somebody else's tongue. And by looking up and contemplating heaven, he's showing that his source of healing doesn't come from himself, but it comes from the Father. And so with a deep sigh, verse 34, not a sigh of irritation, but a deep sigh of compassion, he says that word that I still can't say, which means be opened. Be opened. And in that moment, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he began to speak plainly. No speech therapy, no vocabulary lessons. His tongue is released. Jesus heals and does the miraculous yet again. And you know, it's so easy, isn't it, to view Jesus' miracles in scripture and, you know, if you've been privileged to see miracles here on earth and just view them as some kind of supernatural exception to the mundane normality of life. But I think they're actually something more than that. There's a few of us on a Monday who are going through a book called Gentle and Lowly, and this quote stood out for me a few weeks ago when we were reading together, and it says this: miracles are not an interruption of the natural order, but they're a restoration of the natural order. We're so used to a fallen world that sickness, disease, pain, and death, they all seem natural. In fact, they're the interruptions. Jesus' healings are not supernatural miracles in a natural world. They are the only natural thing in a world that is unnatural, demonized, and wounded. See, Jesus isn't just exercising his muscles over sickness and breaking up the misery of day-to-day life. He's actually giving us a glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like and is like. See, this is a moment where the kingdom of heaven again touches earth. And Jesus is showing this is how it is meant to be. And one day, this is how it will be. I really hope this morning, if you're struggling with sickness, if there's people that you love and care for who are struggling with sickness, that will be a source of encouragement for you today. That we believe Jesus heals and we will happily pray for healing, but we know one day, everything will be restored to how it should be. Okay, let's take a closer look at what's happening. So verse 34, some translations say this. They say, and straight away the man's ears, his ears were opened, and the string or band that was on his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Now the Greek word for that band or that string is the same word that is used for chains that would bind a prisoner. So literally, the chains that bound the man's tongue were released. The prisoner was released. He began to speak plainly. Jesus sets the prisoner free. That's what he's in the business of doing. And Jesus confirmed it himself. If you read in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says of a prophecy from Isaiah 61 that was spoken years before Jesus was around. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim release to the prisoner, recovering the sight to the blind, to deliver those who are crushed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And Jesus says, I have fulfilled that. Jesus is healing, but also he's setting this man free. And that is good news for us this morning. Good news. You know, whether we're a prisoner to our sin and the stuff that separates us from God, or whether we're a prisoner to addiction, to money, to work, to power, to a person, Jesus wants to and he can set us free. And Jesus does that not because he's some maverick healer who goes about putting his spit on somebody's tongue, but he does that because he's the Messiah. Look at verse 32. So the word that is used for the difficulty that the man has in his speech only appears in one other place in the Bible, and that's Isaiah 35, and that's verses 5 to 6. And a passage speaks of the coming Messiah and the one who comes to unclog ears and to loosen tongues. And it says this, "He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame man will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy." See, we have here a picture of Jesus physically healing one deaf man. But it's actually a picture of salvation that is coming to the Gentile world, the non-Jewish people. This is who Jesus is. Yes, he heals. Yes, he sets the prisoners free. But look, he's the Messiah for the people that people weren't even expecting him to be the Messiah for. And then let's look a little bit closer. Jesus restores our physical hearing, this guy's physical hearing, but he also allows the spiritual deaf to hear. The spiritually deaf to hear. In the very next chapter, chapter 8 of Mark, see, Mark's teeing his readers up for all that's to come. And so in chapter 8, Jesus is going to have an encounter with the Pharisees, who are the religious, uber-religious people of the day. And they're people who can physically see, unlike this guy that Jesus is healing. And yet Jesus is going to say to them in verse 18, "Do you have eyes but fail to see? Do you have ears but fail to hear? Do you still not understand?" See, they were witnessing the miracles of Jesus. They were hearing his teaching, and still they were deaf to the truth of who Jesus was. See, because our spiritual condition without Jesus is that we're spiritually deaf and we're spiritually blind. Whether we've got 20/20 vision, whether we consider ourselves to be religious or not. And there's only one person who can unclog those ears, who can open those eyes, and who can cause that tongue to speak praise and thanks for who Jesus is and what he's done. And Jesus is the only one who can do that. It says in Mark 4, verse 9, whoever has ears, let him hear. Mark loves the whole ears and the eyes and the tongue thing. And why have ears to hear? Because faith comes through hearing the good news of who Jesus is. He's the only one who can open the ears and open the mouth of the spiritually blind, the spiritually deaf, the spiritually mute. And so this morning, I don't know, if you're in your workplace, at your home, in your area, you're trying to share the good news of who Jesus is, please be praying for God to open deaf ears. Otherwise, your ears are literally going to fall on deaf ears. Your ears, your words are going to fall on deaf ears. So many parts of the body there. Like, we need to be praying, God, open ears so that people can hear the truth of who you are. And also for us, like, where am I spiritually deaf this morning? Even as a follower of Jesus, I might have heard the truth of who Jesus is, but are there truths of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that I am just deaf to? It's like I've got a massive ball of earwax in and that God needs to unclog them. God, do that for us this morning. Andy was talking about football teams just earlier on. And I wonder who causes, if anyone, or inspiring amazement for you. Maybe it's a painter or a singer or a composer. Maybe it's a sports person where you think actually everything they touch turns to gold. For me, for years, it's been David Beckham. You know, like the way he could just bend a ball at a precise moment, score a goal. And then he became the face of a World Cup to come, and he's kind of lost his shine. But maybe there's some people who you think they do everything well. This is the response of the people in verse 37. Have a look. The people looked on and saw what had happened to this guy, and they were amazed by what Jesus has done. And you know, if you've ever seen anyone physically healed, or if you've seen someone be set free, it actually is amazing. And the people were amazed. And then verse 37, it leads them to say, he does everything well. Man, that is a big word. Everything, all things. Everything he has done well. He's done rightly, correctly, perfectly, beautifully. Can be translated, he has made everything beautiful. And it just echoes God's verdict at creation. When he creates in Genesis 1, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together, they create stuff day after day, sit back and say, what we have done is good. Everything was good. Now, obviously, when you think about creation or you think about Jesus healing someone, of course that's good. Of course you could sit back and say he's done that well. Of course you can say that's beautiful. But actually, what about life? What about the stuff that don't seem so beautiful? What about the stuff that's really hard and really challenging? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it's a book in the Bible in the Old Testament. There's a list of different seasons of life, some good and some bad. And it goes through and it says, in death, in sickness, in weeping, in loss, in suffering. It says this in verse 11. God makes everything beautiful in its time. He does all things, everything well. I've had a bit of a week this week where I've really been challenged by that. God, really, this, you do this bit well, everything well. The stuff that causes you to stay awake at night, he does that well. He takes the sting out of that stuff and he uses it for our good in a way that physically and humanly we can't explain. Verse 36, Jesus commands his onlookers, the people who are amazed and say that Jesus does everything well. Not for the first time, he tells them, don't tell anyone. You've seen this. Keep it shtum. Don't go and tell anyone. Why? Perhaps he didn't want masses flocking to him again and interrupting his preaching mission that had happened before. Or maybe he was certain that his work's not yet done and he doesn't want that to be sidetracked or derailed in any way. See, because it's not until after Jesus' death in Matthew 28 where he said, go and tell all people, all nations about who I am. Man, is that something to think about this morning? See, Jesus told the crowd, don't go and tell anyone, and they disobeyed, and they went and told everyone. Jesus tells us to go and tell everyone, Are we obedient to that? Or are we disobedient and think, nah, I'm not so sure about that? Friends, this morning, Mark draws our attention again to Jesus, the one who has power over sickness. And this morning, you've got the opportunity to stand in that and say, God, I'm going to pray for healing for myself, for people that I care about. I'm going to introduce them to the one who can heal, even if he chooses not to heal, because he's got that power. Friends, this morning, Jesus is the one who sets us free. He sets us free from the chains that surround us spiritually that stop us from meeting him. But he also sets us free from the chains, the things in life that hold us back. He can break those chains and set the prisoner free. This morning, experience that freedom. Go and tell people of that freedom that Jesus brings. This morning, he is the one who opens the ears of the spiritually deaf. Let's be praying for people around us who we know are spiritually deaf, for God to unclog those ears. And God, for me, where I am spiritually deaf this morning, open my ears. Friends, Jesus does everything well. From the start of creation till the moment where we will stand before the throne face to face, he does everything well. Experience that. Go tell other people that. Go show other people the man who does everything well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Mark and just the way that he wants to shine a light on who Jesus is. And thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you're in the business of healing. But more than that, thank you that you are the one who sets us free. The long-awaited Messiah who came, who died, who rose to life, and who wants to bring change and transformation to our lives. Thank you, God, that you're the one who unblocked our ears to help us to hear the truth of you are and caused us to believe. God, do that for those around us who we love and care for who just don't seem to be able to hear it. And for me and for us in our lives, in the moments where we're spiritually deaf to something that you're trying to tell us or show us or challenge us with, God, give us ears to hear. And God, in a continued season and in a world that is broken and fallen, where life is sometimes really hard, God, I pray that we would be able to say, not just with our lips, but actually with our hearts, that you do everything well, that you work all things together for good for those who love you and who are called according to your purposes. Yeah, and so thank you for Mark, and thank you for the encounter between that man and Jesus and the way that it brought complete transformation to his life. And thank you for the change and transformation that you do, you have, and you can bring to us. In Jesus' name, amen.